It is Friday, the 13th. I'm Mark Bayshore. We're glad you could join us here today. At the top of the program, Michigan's advocates of transparent government were confronted by a jarring report card this week. A pair of nonpartisan, nonprofit organizations, the Center for Public Integrity and Global Integrity, showed Michigan ranked 50th out of the 50 states in terms of transparency, accountability, and ethics. The CPI says its annual State Integrity Investigation is a data-driven assessment. Our next guest says Michigan has earned the dishonor. Rich Robinson is the outgoing director of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network, a watchdog organization that monitors the influence of money in Michigan's electoral process. He's been an outspoken critic of dark money and other forms of non-disclosure. Rich, welcome back.
Thanks, Mark.
Did the dead last ranking, 50th out of 50, did that surprise you?
It really didn't. I mean, I've been, as you say, critical of unreported spending and the unreported contributions that pay for that spending going back to the last century. And a lot of the other elements that were called out in this report from Center for Public Integrity are well recognized. I've been writing about a number of them for over 10 years.
Yes.
So in a very real sense, I think we should have expected this grade. I consider Michigan to be the dark money capital of American politics.
Well, I want to give you a chance to comment on each of the bigger pieces that's alluded to in this report. We'll lead with the dark campaign money that goes into campaigns that cannot be traced back to identified individuals, which is a focus of your organization. The report suggests dark money in Michigan is too influential. Why do you agree with that?
Well, just looking at the 24 election cycle, most of the money spent in the gubernatorial campaign was not reported to the State Bureau of Elections. In fact, a third of all money spent in our candidate elections in 2014 was not reported to the State Bureau of Elections. Why does that matter? Transparency is inoculation against corruption. If we don't know who's putting money into politics, we don't know what considerations they seek, what considerations are granted to them. And that's what corruption is. So it's really a gross violation of this fundamental protection of having transparency be our inoculation against corruption.
What do other states have that Michigan doesn't have that you would argue we need?
Well, the principal instrument of evading disclosure is to form campaign advertisements as phony issue ads. And by that, we construct a communication that doesn't explicitly say vote for or vote against a candidate. It merely says call Bayshore and ask him why he hates children and the elderly. And this kind of an ad runs the week before the election. It's a thinly veiled effort to characterize the suitability of a candidate who's running for electoral office.
And this issue specifically, just a couple of years ago, Secretary of State Ruth Johnson proposed changes in the very law that you're talking about here, correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, this was instigated by a request from the State Bar of Michigan in recognition of the fact that all this dark money in our state Supreme Court elections really undermines trust and confidence in the impartiality of the judiciary. Secretary Johnson said she couldn't take on just judicial elections, but the point was correctly made that the language of our statute actually said if there's clear inference of support or opposition, it's a campaign expenditure that should be disclosed. Well, the legislature acted quickly to amend the definition of a campaign expenditure, requiring words making explicit reference to voting. And to my eternal disappointment, Governor Snyder signed that bill into law. Mm.
Let's assume a novice to this discussion, Rich, somebody who simply doesn't pay a lot of attention to elections, which may well be a lot of people. How does this lack of disclosure harm the process?
Well, again, we don't know.
You've described it as an inoculation, but what does it prevent?
Well, the point I was trying to make earlier on, that people don't give 5-, 6-, and 7-figure contributions for selfless reasons. They're seeking some form of consideration. And we need to know who the donors are, what considerations they seek, what considerations they're granted, so we know that people aren't simply buying public policy, but public policy really serves the broad public interest, all citizens. So if you don't know the nature of those financial relationships, you don't know what's going on.
We're talking with Rich Robinson of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network about the Center for Public Integrity report, along with another group called Global Integrity, which showed Michigan ranking 50th out of the 50 states in terms of transparency, accountability, and ethics. The philosophical argument, before we get into the other components of this report, the philosophical argument against greater regulation of campaign finance includes a number of U.S. Supreme Court rulings that essentially equate political money with free speech, which is protected by the First Amendment. Why shouldn't political money be considered a form of free speech?
Well, I'm not arguing against free speech, nor any limitation on people spending money. I mean, that's a futile argument in the post-Citizens United era. What I'm arguing for is accountability for that speech. So we know who the speaker is. So we know who spends $10 million on a Michigan gubernatorial election campaign. Information we're currently lacking. So it's not an argument against speech. It's an argument for accountability for speech.
Back to Michigan's poor showing in these reports. We got an F for our lack of a financial disclosure law for public officials. What needs to happen there in your view?
Well, people need to make statements of what their financial interests are. And this is not some kind of voyeuristic effort to see what's your net worth or something like that. But it's so there is on record what your personal financial interests are. So when a matter comes up for you as a voting legislator that involves your personal financial interest, you're obligated to stand aside from voting in your own personal financial interest. It's really as simple as that. Now, one example of how this has worked in the past in the public interest, you remember former Congressman Randy Duke Cunningham from San Diego, who ended up going to prison for responding to bribes. He was really found out because of personal financial disclosure. The value of his home was a public record, and when it was sold for an amount much greater than its value and then resold at a loss, an enterprising reporter tracked all that down. Again, going back to personal financial disclosure, that was how that episode of corruption was unearthed.
Also in Michigan, both the legislature and the governor enjoy protection from the Freedom of Information Act. How big of an impact does that have?
Well,
we're getting away from campaign finance
absolutely.
But you've thought about these things.
And these are the many metrics that were being considered here. This is a balance. The arguments from the executive office and the legislature against having freedom of information apply are that this will disclose confidential information about constituents that we don't want to happen. Well, that kind of information can be redacted, but when you have, again, one example going back to a year ago is there was some question about whether the governor's own cousin had been given special consideration in a bid to sell furniture to the state of Michigan. I'm not sure how that information, the internal communications, got out to face the criticism, but that's the kind of thing that people are seeking. Are there special deals going on? My guess is precious little would be disclosed through a state official email program anyway. My guess is the Hillary Clinton syndrome of using a private email account is much more common in public life than anybody'd really like to recognize.
Rich Robinson of the Michigan Campaign Finance Network is our guest. We're talking about Michigan's low grade here from the Center of Public Integrity regarding transparency and accountability. A really common storyline following Citizens United is that campaigns will be flooded by money supporting conservative candidates from the Koch brothers, often you'll hear. And to be sure, a lot of that has happened, but I want to introduce another thread to this. Apparently, CPI data also show that in the 38 state elections that happened in 2012, groups supportive of Democrats, primarily labor unions, actually outspent the Republican supporters by about 8%. And John Dunbar of CPI, I'll read a quote of his, "The narrative has been that Citizens United is just going to help corporations, and people have forgotten that you can take unlimited union money too," unquote. Does the fact that both sides of the political spectrum take advantage of these opportunities make an imperfect situation any more tolerable?
I don't think so, Mark. I mean, what we're seeing across the board is that the independent spenders, some of whom do report their spending and many of whom who do not, are really overshadowing the on-the-record candidate campaign committee. So this happened in our 2014 gubernatorial election campaign, much of it to pay for advertising, but to touch the point about unlimited spending by unions, we had a group of union finance super PACs come into Michigan and support a $3.2 million ground campaign in support of Mark Schauer in 2014. I haven't seen that story reported anywhere. I wrote about it in our Citizens Guide, but it's an illustration of how high-spending interest groups have really taken the campaigns away from the candidates themselves. And we're seeing that in the presidential campaign now.
I wanted to go there. You're a very political animal. What stands out for you in the presidential campaigns here for both parties?
Well, that for most of the candidates, the single candidate super PACs supporting them are grossly overshadowing the candidate's own campaigns. Now, we haven't seen reports from the super PAC since June 30th, but at that point, the single candidate super PACs had raised $250 million, way more than the candidates had. Jeb Bush's Right to Rise super PAC had raised $100 million by itself. How does that compare to last presidential election cycle? Well, the presidential super PACs had raised $15 million. All super PACs put together had raised $25 million. So 10 times as much super PAC money supporting just single presidential candidates as all the super PACs 4 years ago. There's no way to project where this is going. There are a lot of people who have a lot of money and really want to have an influence in bending the trajectory of political campaigns.
You are leaving your position as director of Michigan Campaign Finance Network. You're going to join the board, I understand. We want to wish you the best and congratulations on a lot of important work.
Thanks, Mark.
Rich Robinson, the Michigan Campaign Finance Network here on Current State.